ओम शांति। ओम शांति इज अ वर्ड विच ब्रिंग्स सेल्फ अवेयरनेस। मेनी अ टाइम्स इन द पाथ ऑफ भक्ति ऑल्सो वी हैव सेड ओम शांति शांति शांति। But what does it actually mean? Some people say that it is a desire that the soul itself should also be peace, the environment should also be peace, and there should be peace in the whole world. This is why it is said Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. For 3 times, generating the vibrations of peace in the world. But Om Shanti is a word of self-awareness as well. Om, this word has 3 letters, A-U-M. And A stands for actions. U stands for utterance and M stands for the mind. Today we find that these 3 mechanisms or these 3 activities of the self, to think, to speak and to do, they are all functioning in different directions. The thoughts are in a different direction. The speech is in a different direction. And the actions are something else only. So, to harmonize all the inner mechanisms, then experience peace of mind. Because until and unless we are not able to harmonize them, peace is far off. It is difficult to experience peace in life. The stress is because these 3 activities are not functioning in alignment with one another. As is my thoughts, so should be my speech and so should be my actions. If they are all in alignment with one another, there is peace in life. So, whenever we say Om Shanti, it gives us the awareness that I have to bring a harmony between all the 3 activities. But in order to bring harmony within the self, I need some powers. I need some strength. So, our lesson today is the attainments through Raj Yoga. What is it that we are going to attain through the practice of Raj Yoga? Because if I am aware of the attainments, it becomes easy for me to follow. But if I am not aware what I am going to attain, then a person may remain confused throughout his life. I should do or I should not do, what should I do, how should I do, so many questions are there. There is no clear focus. So, the basic thing that we attain through Raj Yoga are 8 powers. And these 8 powers can be only attained when there are 8 values connected to it. So, values are which is my own property, which is something within me. The only thing is I need to tap those values, and when I bring them out in my life, gradually it turns into powers. And this is the power through which I am able to overcome the weaknesses which are there within me. We all know we have weaknesses in our lives. Nobody is perfect in this world. And we are very much aware of the weaknesses also. Because from time to time when we see some weakness playing the role in our life and causing all the disturbances in our relationship, we get frustrated also. We want to overcome that weakness, but then we say, I lack some power. If I just have that power, I'll be able to overcome this weakness. So the attainments of power by tapping the values which are there within my life to overcome the weaknesses. And this is depicted in the scriptures as the 8 arms of the goddesses. In India, we all worship different goddesses. Especially when we celebrate this festival of Navratri, we worship the goddesses. And these goddesses are shown with 8 arms. And in each and every arm, there is a weapon. If we understand that these goddesses, they had some weapons in their hands and they killed some asuras, this is no logic, because no goddess can be violent. When in today's world we give the title of Mahatma to those people who were totally non-violent. And because of this quality of non-violence, we term them as great souls. These were the great souls of our country. Whether it is Mahatma Buddha, whether it is Mahatma Gandhi, whether it is any other great being. But the greatness was because they had adopted non-violence in their lives. So how can the goddesses be so violent? Didn't they have the power to overcome the asuras through their own power? So definitely, if we worship them, there was some greatness within them. And the greatness is that they were non-violent. Each and every weapon actually symbolizes the power they had through the power which they were able to overcome a particular weakness. And on the other hand, we find the picture of Ravana. Ravana was great intellectual. He was very much learned. He had the knowledge of all the scriptures. It is said that Ravana was so powerful also. Ravan was so wealthy also. And Ravan was a great devotee also. So when all the four things which are necessary in life, wisdom, power, wealth and bhakti, all the four things were there with Ravan. Artha, bal, buddhi and bhakti. All the four were there with Ravan. But the greatest weakness that he had, due to which he lost everything, God himself had to incarnate to abolish him from this world, was because of ego. And ego is the root cause of all other weaknesses. Weaknesses always emerge from this main root cause, ego. And therefore, to symbolize his ego, 10 heads are shown. There can be no human being with 10 heads. But the ego was so great in him that he is shown with equal heads. That is why when a person is egoistic in the world, they normally say, why do you roam about with your head so high in the sky? There's no need to have so much of ego in your life. Because if Ravan's ego was not there, he could not stay against the power of God himself. How can you stand against the power of God? So ego is compared to the heads of Ravana, and power is connected with the arms of goddesses. Through this power, we can overcome the weaknesses very easily. Whenever we go to the temples, we pray to gods, oh God, grant me the strength to overcome my weakness. Grant me the knowledge to overcome the ignorance. Grant me the good qualities to overcome the small defects that I have in my life. This is what we have been asking for throughout our lives whenever we went to temples. Now, God is not going to give us a magic wand and say, okay, now you take hold of this magic wand and overcome your weaknesses or overcome the defects that you have in your life or overcome the ignorance that you have in your life. God is complete, positive, powerful and pure. So he will grant us some positive quality. He will grant us some strength. And the efforts that we have to make in our life is to use that strength in such a way that we overcome ourselves, that weakness. And to use that strength, I need to have that wisdom also. And I need to have that qualities also, so that becomes my skill to use that power. That is why we have been asking this only from gods in the temples. Therefore, God does not come just to put that magic wand in our hand to overcome the weaknesses, the vices. But he gives us the wisdom, he gives us the power, and he gives us the understanding also to use the powers and channelize that energy in the right manner. These 8 powers are the powers of a yogi. When we practice yoga, that is concentration. When we focus our minds, then only we are able to achieve these powers. If the mind's energy is distracted, is channelized in various directions, not focused within the self, even though if we have the qualities, but still we cannot turn it into powers. So I need to have that understanding of transforming it into my strength by focusing my energies in a particular direction. And this is what yoga means. Concentration of mind means focusing the mind's energy for a particular task. So which are those 8 powers? The first power, if we look at, is the power to tolerate. A very great power. Because all the great souls of the world, the greatness was due to the power of tolerance. And they had tolerated so much in their lives. The power of tolerance, how does it come within our lives? There is a story that I am reminded of, Mahatma Buddha. When he was sitting in his meditation, one person comes up and says such bad things to Mahatma Buddha. For an hour or so, he went on saying so bad things to him. But still, Mahatma Buddha was so peaceful, undisturbed. After an hour or so, the person asked Mahatma Buddha, "Did you hear what I told you?" So Mahatma Buddha smiled and said, "Brother, whatever you gave me, nothing was of use to me in my life, so I have not accepted it. If someone gives you something, and if it is of no use to you, and you say, 'No, thank you, I don't want it,' whom will it stay with? So whatever you have been giving me, there was nothing which was useful to me, so I have not accepted anything." So when the person realized, "I'm such a fool, I've been saying so many bad things, and if it is not accepted by him, it has stayed with me." This is where he bowed down in front of Mahatma Buddha, and he becomes one of the greatest disciples of Mahatma Buddha. So in order to bow down, make others bow down, it is the power to tolerate that will help them also have this realization that whatever they are doing is not appropriate and will make them bow down in front of us. Another beautiful example that I'm reminded of is a tree which is full of fruits, and the tree which has fruits always is lowered down. It is so vast, the expansion is so much, and when it is full of fruits, it will bow down. Children would come, throw stones at the tree, but the tree would give them fruits. And it is seen that the tree which has fruits will get stones. The tree which does not have fruits never gets stones. So if we have to tolerate in our life means there are some fruits that people want from us. And so I have to grant them fruits. That is why they are throwing stones at me. And those people with fruits, they are always humble in their life. They are always bowing down in their life. A tree without fruits will never get stones in their life. So if we don't have to tolerate, that is not our greatness. It is because we don't have fruits in our lives. So if nature also can teach us that when a child is throwing stones at the tree, it gives fruit to the children and make them feel happy, so what should we do? If the creation can teach us something, we, being so powerful, what should we do? The tree will always give shadow to the woodcutter who's going to cut that tree. The tree would never say, so till the last breath also, it has this attitude of giving, giving and giving. So those people who have to tolerate in their lives, they never stop giving till the last breath of their life. That is the greatness within them. Then that power is such a great power which can be turned into a strength. And so we find that when lightnings are there, the lightning will be absorbed by the earth itself. So such is the capacity to absorb such situations which are like lightning. And this is what nature also teaches us. But how can we develop this power? How can we generate this power? There are two values that we really need to have. And these two values are love and forgiveness. The mother will tolerate each and every mischief, nuisance of the child. Why? Because she has great love for the child. And when the love is there, tolerance becomes easy. She can tolerate every nuisance, she can tolerate every mischief that is by the child. And at the same time, she forgives the child, loves the child so much. The same thing, Christ had this quality of forgiving others. And therefore, such a great quality through which he was able to tolerate even the nails that were there in, that were put in his hands, in his body. The torture was also tolerated because of the attitude of forgiving them. In his last prayers also he said to God, oh God, please forgive them as they do not know what they are doing. So whenever we have this quality of forgiving, and forgiveness can also only come when there is love for all. That is why in his teachings he had said, love is God. God is love. This quality of love, he has highlighted it so much, equivalent to God's status. So if I really want to achieve that greatness in my life, it is only through the power of love and forgiving others that I can generate this power of tolerance in my life. And love is the original quality of the soul. On the first day when you heard the lesson of the soul, the 7 basic core values of the soul, the first quality was knowledge, purity, and love. So when there is love, so my original nature, when I bring that nature outside, when I tap it out, then I can generate this power very easily. And through the power of tolerance, it helps us to conquer anger. Anger only comes when we do not have this feeling of love for others and when we cannot forgive others. This is what makes us get angry. And then we mention also in front of people, I've only got this one weakness. I get angry very easily. I get irritated very easily. But this shows that we lack the power of tolerance. And why we lack this power of tolerance? Because the basic core values have not been tapped out in our life. So if I want to overcome anger, I need to have these 2 values of love and forgiveness and generate this power of tolerance. This is what the great souls, they did in their life. And this is why whatever situation, whatever type of people came in front of them, but still they were hardly affected by whatever they said, whatever they did. It never irritated them. Because the power was so great that they remained undisturbed. Their state of mind was at peace. They were in a relaxed mood forever. Similarly, tolerance is not enough. There is another power that we need to have within our lives. After tolerance, we need to accommodate everything within ourselves and adjust with others. Just as an ocean, the ocean would accommodate the dirty waters of the rivers also. Then the ocean will never say, please don't pour your dirty water in me. No, it will go on accommodating. But the dirt is also not kept with the ocean. With the tides and the waves, all the dirt it will throw on the shores. And whatever heavy things are, it will accommodate within the ocean. Similarly, a person may tolerate a great deal, never say a word. But if he is not able to accommodate within, then also either he is affected within or either he would start saying outward to others. A beautiful example that I can think of, and that is in each and every homes today, we find there is a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law. And when the mother-in-law has said something, the daughter-in-law tolerates. But she is not able to accommodate within herself. So when she goes to the neighbor's house and somebody shows some compassion to her, she brings out whatever has happened. And when she is not able to accommodate what had happened within her own self and she mentions everything to the neighbors. The neighbors, they feel we should help her. Maybe out of very good feelings. But when she has gone out, that's the time when the neighbors would go to their to her house and try to explain to the mother-in-law, you shouldn't do this, you know. It gives pain to the others. And they try to give advice to the mother-in-law. Now, will the mother-in-law accept that advice? What will happen? She will ask, how did you come to know about this? So then the neighbor would say, well, she was so much upset about the whole thing. So when she came to our house, she just emptied herself. And it was good that she emptied. But you should not do like this to her, you know. So the mother-in-law would not say anything to the neighbors. But as soon as they have gone and the daughter-in-law comes in, what happens? Huh? So the power of tolerance was very good that the daughter-in-law did not say anything in front of the mother-in-law. That was the greatness that she had. But if she is not able to accommodate the whole thing within her and she goes out spreading what has happened, then there is always clashes in the house. There is never peace in the house. And then if the daughter-in-law would again go and tell the neighbors, why did you come and give advice to my mother-in-law? This was my personal thing. I came and just emptied in front of you. Having faith in you, so I just told you, I mentioned to you. Why should you come and tell my mother-in-law about the whole thing? But just imagine, if it is my personal thing, and if I am not able to accommodate within my own stomach, what is the guarantee that my neighbor would accommodate my thing in their stomach? Is it practical? If it has come out of my mouth, definitely it would come out from their mouth also. Because they also have so many things to accommodate. So how can they take the guarantee of accommodating my things within them? Now this is the wisdom. That if I cannot accommodate, if I feel uneasy with whatever has happened and I cannot accommodate within my own self, there is no guarantee that my neighbors or my friends or whomever I'll tell, they will accommodate my thing. Never. Even if they don't tell my relatives or my near and dear ones, they may spread it out to others. They may spread out into the society. And when in the society the whole thing is going on, and when it comes to the ears of the mother-in-law, what will happen? Just imagine. So because when we lack this power of accommodating, we are not able to adjust in our families. And this is why adjustment has become very difficult in today's family lives. In order to generate this power within the self, which are the values, core values that we need to tap in our lives? The two values are maturity and openness of mind. Maturity will bring that depth to accommodate. Just as the ocean is vast and is deep, the vastness will allow it to accommodate, and the depth also allows it to accommodate. So if I have openness of my mind, if I can understand that this is natural for human beings, and this is natural in a household life, so the openness will allow me to accommodate whatever situations are coming up. And the maturity will help me to take it down within myself. It becomes the depth which will just go within. Take the whole thing and I'm able to digest within myself. And on the basis of this qualities, which are the weaknesses that I'm able to overcome? power of accommodation helps us to conquer jealousy. Because when we cannot accommodate, we feel jealous about one another, and this is why we start defaming others out of jealousy. So that people in the society would speak bad and she would have a bad impression. And this is how we make others look down. And this is not a solution, because this will not help us in our journey of life. In the journey of life, today maybe we will be successful by defaming on the basis of the jealousy that we have. And we don't accommodate others' weaknesses within us. But a day will come that we will have to face the same situation for ourselves also. As much as we have defamed out of jealousy and spreaded the weaknesses of others in the society, a day will come when they will, or somebody else would also defame me, because each and every one of us has some other weaknesses. Today I am jealous about others, tomorrow somebody else may be jealous about me, and they will also never accommodate me in their lives. So, let us have this maturity. Let us have this quality of understanding and accommodate one another's weakness within ourselves. If we accommodate, the person will realize one day, and instead of spreading something bad, will bow down in front of us. So with the power of tolerance, power of accommodation is equally important in our lives. A person may tolerate, but if he is not able to accommodate in a household life, there are regularly fights and some or the other disturbances created from time to time, which will just make us lose our peace of mind. We can never feel relaxed in our lives. Together with these two powers, being in the society and living in this world where there is so much of pomp and show, we need the third power also. And the third power is power to discriminate what is right, what is wrong, what is true, what is false. If I do not have this power to discriminate between what is good and what is evil, I will come under the influence of evil very easily. And I cannot save myself. And I cannot follow the path of goodness. I cannot follow the path of truth. So I, just as a jeweler, is able to identify which are the real diamonds, which are the imitated diamonds, which are the American diamonds. And he is able to clearly identify both of them on the basis of the knowledge that he has. An ordinary person who has no knowledge may take up the American or imitated diamonds to be the real diamonds and will give the amount also of the real diamonds in place of the imitated diamonds. So being in this world, the world of superficiality, a world where there is so much of external pomp and show, to identify what is good, what is bad, what is true, what is false, what is quality and what is a weakness, I need to develop a very powerful eye of discrimination. I need to perceive things as they are. Therefore it is said, if you can perceive, you can achieve. But if the perception is wrong, if I am not able to discriminate, I cannot take good decisions in my life. And in order to develop this power to discriminate what is good and what is bad, what is near and what is kshir, what is milk and what is water. That this is the special quality of a swan, that it is able to separate the milk and the water, the pearls and the stones. See, if I develop that intellect, a pure intellect, I am able to identify what is good and what is bad. And how can I purify my intellect? How can I make my intellect powerful? For that, two qualities which I have to tap from within, and these two qualities are knowledge and the clarity of thoughts. If there is inner confusion because of ignorance, because we lack in wisdom, so this is where the spirituality plays a great role in our lives. It's the only source from where I can get knowledge. I can get wisdom. And on the basis of this wisdom only, my intellect becomes powerful to identify what is good, what is bad. Without wisdom, we cannot identify. And then we become victims of the weakness. So which is the weakness that comes in our life because we lack in this power? And that is the weakness of attachment. We get so attached to even the bad qualities. We get attached to weaknesses. We get attached to wrong belief systems. We get attached to wrong identifications. And when we get attached, then I'm not able to discriminate what is good and what is bad. And we become victims of those situations also. So, by having a very good eye of discriminating between what is good and what is bad, I need to open up the third eye of wisdom. And it is only through the spiritual knowledge, when I take in the spiritual knowledge, when I inculcate the spiritual knowledge, that I can open my third eye and conquer this attachment to wrong belief systems, to wrong identifications, to various other small things. And then the fourth power, because this third and fourth power are also combined. Without one another, we are not complete. When we are able to discriminate, then we are able to take decisions. We are able to judge the situation. Just as in the world we find there are archers, with the bow and arrow they shoot the target. And when an archer is shooting, he has to have great concentration, inner stability, so that he hits the arrow to the target. But supposing, due to some or the other influence or some or the other certain things that come up maybe, and if this thumb just moves slightly when shooting, if the thumb moves a little bit, just by 1 millimeter maybe, but if the thumb moves 1 millimeter also at the target, he is not able to shoot. He is not able to aim. So he has to be very careful that even the thumb does not move. In the scales we find, the scales, they give accurate judgment. The balance gives accurate judgment. But if the mid point is concentrated, then only. If the pointer is here or there, the judgment is also wrong. So slight variation can give wrong decisions, can give wrong judgments. So in order to have accurate judgment, so that the pointer is concentrated, we do not move ourselves, which are the qualities that I need to have in my life? And the two basic values that we need to have accurate decisions are concentration and inner stability of mind. Meditation helps to develop these qualities. And when these qualities are there, this becomes the crucial power for all other powers also. This is the main power through which all other powers can also be generated. So concentration through meditation and even inner stability, as we saw yesterday, Raj Yoga is Samatva Yoga, which helps me to stabilize my mind. And on the basis of which is the weakness that we are able to overcome? Ravan was not able to take accurate decisions because of ego. So ego is where, when we come under the influence of ego, we are never able to take accurate decisions. This is what moves the pointer. This is what moves the thumb and does not allow us to hit the arrow, to judge the situations as they are. We are not able to be successful, because in today's world we find successful people are successful because they have taken accurate decisions at the right time. If we take the decisions after the time has gone, then also it's of no value. But those who have presence of mind through concentration and inner stability, they are able to take decisions at the right time, and this becomes the secret of their success. Taking decisions afterwards will not help us in any way. We may realize afterwards, I should have said this, I should have done this, I should have taken this decision, but the time is gone. The value is of time, taking accurate decisions. But during that time, we were under the influence of our own ego. So we are not able to take accurate decisions. So a person who wants to increase his inner judgmental power, he has to overcome ego. He has to come out of the influence. And how do we come to know whether we have ego or not? The proof that we have ego is fear. Wherever there is fear, the fear is because of getting hurt. What if I do this and people will say this? So the fear of being criticized, fear of being hurt. Who is hurt? The ego is hurt. So wherever there is fear, there is ego. And because of this ego, we are not able to take accurate decisions. So this is the checking meter, whether I have ego within me or not. The person who has more ego has more fear. What if somebody says this? What if somebody does this? What if somebody... So every time there is fear in the self. Fear of failure. Fear of being hurt. Fear of being criticized. Fear, so many fears. So this fear is the proof that there is ego. And if there is ego, we shall never be able to take accurate decisions. So to overcome ego, then we are able to take accurate decisions. Together with that, there is another power also which we need in the present times, and the power is to power to face. Today in this world, there are so many problems. There are so many things that are coming up, so many situations coming up, so many circumstances coming up. And so that I do not become a victim of those situations, circumstances and problems, I need to develop this power to face. And how can I develop this power to face? Sometimes it is seen, people misunderstand between the power to tolerate and power to face. So when they have to tolerate, they face. And when they have to face, they tolerate. What happens? This is where we are not able to discriminate and take judgment. So all these powers are internally connected. So when should we tolerate and when should we face? It is not that every time I have to go on tolerating. No. That again becomes a weakness. So when should I tolerate and when should I face? What do you think? Sometimes we have to face also. Sometimes we have to tolerate also. So when should we do? When should we face? When should we tolerate? Yes? When should we face and when should we tolerate in life? When it affects the society, we have to face. And when should we tolerate? When it affects the individual, we have to tolerate. That is wisdom? That is the wisdom? No. Yes. If it's the mistake of other person, we have to tolerate. If it is our mistake, we have to face. But that is the problem. People don't realize their mistakes. How can they face? We have to always tolerate with human beings. But we have to face a situation. We have to face a circumstance and overcome it. Individuals, if they have said something, we can tolerate that. Somebody is speaking a lie, somebody is saying such bad things, somebody is blaming. Just tolerate and overcome it. Don't try to face that person. Because we know when he is speaking a lie, and if we try to face him, what will happen? It would create a reaction. And in that reaction, there will be a fight. And in that fight, sometimes we may become a victim. Like when we go in trains, we find that in the reservation coaches, people have their reservations. But during the daytime, the reservation is sitting only, it's not sleeping. And hardly some people realize this. So when it is daytime, during the daytime when the train is crossing through some stations, those who regularly go on jobs to bigger cities, who are doing their regular traveling in the train, they have connection with everyone. So they specially get into the reservation coaches. And when they get in the reservation coaches, they said, please give space, let us sit. And they want to sit. Because in the general, it is very difficult to get in also. So these people who are regularly doing up and down from the cities, they get into the reservation coaches and they want to sit there. Now some people who are unaware that during the daytime, the reservation is just for sitting, not for sleeping. Unless if there is a patient. So what will they do? They try to react, oh, we have given money for reservation, we want to sleep. And they don't want to allow them to sit. So what will happen? There is, the person will say two bad words. He's an idiot and a stupid fellow or something like that. So the other people, they cannot tolerate. So what will they do? There is a fight that is started. And in that fight, sometimes they start using their hands also. And they can harm us in such a way that it is very difficult to stop that fight sometimes. The trains have to be stopped just because of that fight. And sometimes the whole thing goes on up to killing one another, throwing them out of the compartment of the running train. And this is what we see, witness. The reason was the two bad words which was first initially said was not tolerated. And the tolerance power was not there because the accommodation power was not there. We were not ready to accommodate others also. If at that time a person would say, well, come in, you can have a seat, why don't you sit here? And if we show that generosity, they will also accommodate and be grateful to us and they will have their seat and help us also. But because we were not ready to accommodate, we did not tolerate, and when we did not tolerate, there was a fight. And we become victims of that whole fight. So whenever human beings are there, somebody has said something, let us accommodate and tolerate there. But whenever situations come up, I have to face that situation. There I cannot tolerate. Facing the situation and overcoming it. And to face the situation, which are the two qualities that we need? We have to face the circumstance, we have to face the situation, and the two values that we need are fearlessness and courage to face the situation. Whenever there is a natural disaster, we cannot tolerate because we'll become a victim if it, but at that time we'll have to have fearlessness and courage to overcome that situation and help others also overcome the situation. So this is where we need to have the power to face. So tolerance with human beings, power to face with situation and circumstances and overcoming it. And on the basis of these values, when we generate the power, which is the weakness that we overcome, it helps us to overcome desires. The lust which is there, lust for power, lust of so many things. When human beings have inner desires, then they are not able to face because they are victims already of those desires. And to fulfill those desires, they can never face because they are under the influence of somebody already. They are under influence of their own sense organs. So they are not able to have this power to face the situation. Together with that power, whenever a situation comes, to help others also cross that situation, we need to have the power to cooperate. And if we are not ready to cooperate with one another, then also it becomes very difficult. Because collectively when we join hands, we are able to turn mountain into molehills. But alone, it will be very difficult to overcome the situation also. So when we have this power to cooperate with one another, cooperation begets cooperation. So if I cooperate, others will also cooperate. And this is how the biggest situations can also be overcome. And it is always said, power to cooperate, this quality of giving cooperation and taking cooperation from others is a divine quality. And not giving cooperation, not taking cooperation from others, this is an asuri quality. How? In the scriptures, there is a beautiful story that I am reminded of. That once Indra, he gave, he offered lunch to the deities and the asuras. So he invited everyone. So the asuras felt today, Indra must be trying to play a game with us. We have to be very cautious. He's very clever. So when they both come, before sitting for the food, having the lovely food that was in front of everyone and the beautiful fragrance that was coming out of the food, So, what happened that Indra said there is a condition to have this food, that the hands will be tied and you have to have your hands straight and have food. Now, 56 items of food was served to them, but the hands were tied. So, the first in one hall, asuras were given lunch. In the other hall, the deities were given lunch. The condition was with both to tie their hands, keep them straight and have their lunch. The asuras, they were throwing the lunch and trying to eat, and the whole hall was messed up. They did not take cooperation from one another also. They wanted to eat by themselves. Some of the asuras tried to put their mouth in the plate and they spoiled the whole face also and everything. The whole hall was messed up. Their own clothes were messed up and everything was messed up. And they got so angry at Indra that he wanted to make us look down. So he has done this. He has kept this condition. Now let us go and see what the deities are doing, whether they are also having this condition or not. So when they saw, there was so peace in that hall and everybody was having their food very lovingly. And the basic quality was of cooperation. They sat in front of one another, they fed one another, and this is how it was going very peacefully. So to give cooperation and to take cooperation is the quality of the deities. And not to give cooperation, not to take cooperation from one another is the quality of asura. So who are we? Who are we? Are we the ones with divine qualities? Or are we the ones with asuri qualities? So I can judge myself on the basis of the power of cooperation. If I'm ready to cooperate others, and if I'm ready to accept the cooperation of others, that means I have that divinity within myself. But if I'm not ready to cooperate, nor to give cooperate, nor to take cooperation from others, then that makes me an asura. And I can never enjoy my life, but I'll make my life a mess and always be dissatisfied in my life. How can we develop this power of cooperation, this divine quality? Which are the two qualities that we need? Love and understanding. The more love and understanding we develop for one another, we are able to have this power within ourselves. And through which we can overcome which weakness? The weakness that we are able to overcome is the weakness of hatred and animosity. Animity with one another. The hatred does not allow us to cooperate with one another. When there is enmity with one another, we cannot cooperate with one another. And this is the quality of asura, which does not allow to realize that divinity within ourselves. Which does not allow us to develop that understanding within one another. So power to cooperate, if we just go on cooperating and taking cooperation from one another, we can easily overcome this weakness of hatred and animosity. And then another beautiful power which helps us to be true karma yogis. And that is the power to withdraw. Like a tortoise. The tortoise brings out its organs when it wants to do karma, when it wants to function, when it wants to move. But whenever it sees danger, whenever it senses danger, it will withdraw its limbs and it will take within, go within and be protected in its shield. Stay in that state. Similarly, when we have this power of withdrawing, we can be true karma yogis because whilst being in a karma yogi life, I should sense where there is danger and where I need to withdraw myself and where I need to move forward in life. I have to do that. But whenever I sense danger, there is something that is not going well, I need to withdraw myself. Otherwise, I'm going to become a victim of that situation. And in order to sense that, which is the quality that I need to have, the basic quality that I need to have is detachment and introspection. The moment I am detached and I take myself up, I'm able to have the bird's view of the whole situation. What the situation is and how, when a person rises, he's able to see a bigger circumference of the whole thing. But when we are on the ground, we are able to visualize a limited circumference only. Things within that limited area. But when I rise, the more I rise high, the more I become detached from the situation, I'm able to perceive things as they are. So detachment is a very good quality of a yogi. That is why the yogis, they adopt a detachment so that they can perceive things, situations, people as they are. And they do not become victims. And then introspection, checking within, seeing within, whether I have this quality or not, and accordingly adopting that quality and then coming into action. So these are the two basic qualities for being a real karma yogi, through which we are able to overcome which weakness. So which is that weakness which helps to overcome greed in life? When I'm able to detach myself and see the situation as it is, I can remain safe. If I'm on the ground, I'm not detached. In the influence of greed, having to attain more and not able to withdraw at the right time, we become a victim of that situation. So greed is the basic weakness which we overcome through detachment and introspection from time to time and withdrawing ourselves at the right time and not becoming a victim of that situation. Because in today's world, when people want to make others victim, what is temptation? They put temptation in front of them. And when they are not able to withdraw themselves from that temptation, they become a victim very easily. So withdrawing, detachment and introspection helps us to overcome greed, helps us to overcome all sorts of temptations, and this is how we can remain safe in a karma yogi life also. And the eighth power that we need to have is the power to pack up. Power to pack up from what? When we are going on a journey in a train, we don't take the whole house with us. We have this power to pack up our things. And we take whatever is important for the journey. And in that we take two things. One is a bedding which will be useful for us, and another is a bag in which we put all our valuables, all the good things we put in the bag so that it remains safe, and lock the bag. And the other is a bedding, we just tie it up and let it be. Nobody is going to touch the bedding. Nobody is going to take that burden with them. So it can lie wherever, even in the passage of the train or anything. No, people will sit on it but won't take with them. But the attachee, the bag that we have, people lock also with the chains so that nobody tries to take the bag. And the more we try to take care of the bag, people's eyes also, there must be something definitely in this bag. That's why he is looking after it so much. And everybody's eye is also on that bag, not on the bedding. And sometimes when we fall asleep, we have no attention. At that moment, people, they steal the bag. Similarly, in this journey of life also, there are two things that we have to keep ready, pack up. One is the account of good karma, which should be in the tachi, which should be in the bag. And be careful that nobody lays their hands on that good account. And the bedding, just roll off sinful actions. All the charity, all the good karma, all the good qualities in the bag. And be careful, have attention, have an eye on that bag that nobody should steal. Many times people become careless. My good karma, who can steal my good karma? My divine qualities, it is my property, who is going to steal that? But in today's world, everything is being stolen. Be careful. And how do people steal the good qualities from my life? I may be careless. Oh, I have my very good qualities with me in my bag. And my charitable actions and all the good accounts in my bag. But it has been stolen. And how do people steal that? How do people steal that? By influencing in their company. Bringing us in their company. They steal the good qualities. That is why when a person is indulged in bad company, in Srimad Bhagavad Gita also, every time Arjuna was cautioned, be careful about the company you keep. A man is known by the company he keeps. And a person when he is indulged in bad company, all the good qualities, all the good sanskaras, all the good accounts that he have gathered is stolen. And he increases the accounts of bad karma. He increases that burden and he has to carry that burden, that bondage wherever he goes, even in the next life. So because of the qualities, because of the values and the powers that we generate on the basis of those values, we can make our life so valuable. And this is how we pack up all that is waste in our life and we really empower ourselves from within with the powers and with the qualities. So, Raj Yoga meditation helps to develop all the powers through concentration of mind and we can make our lives so valuable, fully empowered, when we overcome one and other weaknesses from time to time. So these are the basic attainments and these are the 8 arms. So I also have to be the goddess or the god with 8 arms which gives cooperation and help others also on the basis of the powers. That is why when we want the help of others, what do people say? Lend a hand. Give your hand and cooperate. And this is why even Shri Krishna is shown with these powers that he lifted the mountain on his small finger. And the other gopis and gopis also put their small finger to lift the mountain. This shows that the power is such great that even with the smallest finger we can. Means the impossible can be changed into possible. When we have these 8 powers, these qualities and when we overcome the weaknesses and vices. Okay? So this is the attainments through Raj Yoga, which makes us real karma yogis. While being in the household life, we can practice meditation, we can empower our lives, make our lives powerful and valuable and be a source of inspiration for many others. Om Shanti. 2 minutes in silence.
करते चलो सबका भला जीवन के जीने की ये है कला करते चलो सबका भला जीवन के जीने की ये है कला करते चलो सबका भला जीवन के जीने की ये है कला करते चलो के जीने की ये है कला